Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. I'm joined by Richard Sroeder from CenturyLink. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Richard, CenturyLink, obviously a big name in cloud service providing. Can you give us a background on the company and your role there?
Sure. So CenturyLink's in the business for quite a while. They've gone on a acquisition spree over the last few years, picking up Savvis and getting a lot of their data center presence, managed network and services. They acquired AppFog for platform as a service, and they acquired Tier 3 last November, where I was part of, to give them a cloud platform that they could really scale and build and deploy globally. So we've spent these last 8 months being the crazy cloud people within CenturyLink, helping them scale out what it means to do cloud around the world and build this sort of platform that they can use everywhere to deliver infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and keep, even today, we announced private cloud, and being able to use this platform as an engine for a lot of different cool services that we can deliver to the market.
You talked about some services, and obviously this is a very competitive field. What do you think sets CenturyLink apart in terms of the capabilities that you're delivering to customers?
Really, CenturyLink's focus has been, and the expertise has been on data center presence. We're one of the largest co-location providers in the world. We have our own network backbone, which lets us offer some unique products to both a residential audience as a cable subscriber, but also a lot of business products for low latency and some interesting last mile capabilities. But building on that, then these sort of infrastructure services and application services, that's really where we're able to piece together those things and then put things like managed services on top. We have a really large experience managed services division that can offer managed capabilities on top of infrastructure. So not just self-service, which is great, but self-service and then, you know what, I might need to hand off some care and feeding to a really expert pool of people to do that for me. That sort of all-up capability of infrastructure and network and management really gives us a pretty unique play that's difficult to duplicate.
You're obviously offering the core capabilities that enterprise-class workloads are looking for the cloud. I also saw that you had a hyperscale cloud platform. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So hyperscale is interesting. It's something we launched last January, and it came down to offering high-performance workloads, specifically quality compute based on Intel technology, also local SSD-based storage, also some Intel gear, to give really, really high IOPS, a different type of workload than our traditional standard servers, which use SAN-based backbone for data replication and storage, which gives you some great assurances. But some modern cloud workloads don't need that level of data persistence. You build NoSQL databases that have built-in inherent replication within their data structures, and distributed web apps where, again, that sort of redundancy isn't necessary. So it's simply being able to offer a different type of application platform that is extremely high-performing, offers some workloads that might not run as fast, even on our high-performing regular servers, simply an interesting class of server that we really wanted to join with Intel on to deliver the market.
Do you have any particular verticals or type of customers that you see as early adopters here? It seems like we're on the cusp of broad-scale workload, mainstream adoption, but there's still some folks that are out in the forefront.
It is targeting organizations looking at their first pass at Hadoop. That's not something that's industry specific. That's simply those who see the value of doing some big data analysis of things that might have been sitting in repositories and not really analyzing them in a way to get some good knowledge out of them. So we're seeing organizations using it for functions like that and targeting functions like that, looking for the sort of web applications that they want to run at scale. You know, even ourselves as an end cloud platform, looking at using it ourselves for our NoSQL databases and our web channel. So it gives a different conversation for organizations who might have thought of the cloud like they did 4 or 5 years ago, which is just, here's a straight commodity virtual infrastructure. That's what it means to be cloud. Instead of, now it's a different mix of performance profiles. There's public and private. There is different application services. Like, it's a different cloud than you might have thought about 4 or 5 years ago. And that means it's more suitable for more workloads.
You talked about different performance profiles. I know that you guys have a strong partnership with Intel, but being part of the Intel Cloud Technology Program, the Intel Cloud Finder Program. why such a deep collaboration with Intel, and what are you delivering to the end customer in terms of differentiation of capabilities with that engagement?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think the Intel partnership made sense as we look at back even as former Tier 3 and even CenturyLink. We recognize, and Intel recognizes, frankly, from some of these programs, that not all clouds are the same. This is not a commodity space. This isn't where one cloud looks just like the other one. So we've always appreciated that recognition and being in that sort of program with you all, that Intel knows that using good quality hardware, not necessarily going with the cheapest, most commodity thing possible just to squeeze out margin, is the best thing for our customers. Customers who have workloads that aren't built for just the horizontal infinite scale, there's a lot of enterprise workloads that were built to run on reliable hardware that you swapped out every few years when it wanted to decommission it. And while we want to encourage people to adopt a cloud model, being able to have high-quality gear in the cloud as well, where you can deploy to cloud but also not have to expect that server to fail every day. You know, I don't think people have to expect that in the cloud. They shouldn't have to. So partnership with Intel, especially through Hyperscale, was, boy, even something that might not have the same durability of data and some other things as our standard storage, we can still deliver a really good SLA because we have so much faith in the platform.
When you take a look at the types of workloads that you're running within your cloud, how do you guys decide on the underlying infrastructure, and how do you ensure that you're delivering the quality of services that your enterprise customers are expecting from you?
We constantly revisit what makes up our hardware stack. It's not static by any means. It's something where we do look at the usage profile. What kind of scale dimensions do we see? Do we see people doing more complex networking things? Therefore, we need to expect more out of that gear. How are people using storage? What kind of replication are they looking for? What are the things our customers tell us are interesting? And also, what do we see in the market? And so we constantly reassess what is the optimized stack and make sure that what we're providing to customers represents the latest in market, the things that we know work at scale and, frankly, can be durable. You know, it's great to have certain gear that you can put into an environment, but if you burn it out after 60 days or 100 days, that's not going to work either. I want to make sure that it's quality, long-lived gear that we can trust in the platform. Issues of scale always surface as you keep growing your platform. So as we revisit that and think, what's the best way to run this in 12 data centers today or 50 tomorrow? And how do we partner with the right providers and build the right solutions with the right underlying base? That's part of the fun challenge of actually being a cloud builder versus a cloud consumer.
So, Richard, thank you so much for being on the program today. Why don't we end with where folks can get more information about the services you're offering and connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find more about us at CenturyLinkCloud.com. You can chase me around on Twitter at rsoroder. And always looking forward to chatting with folks who are either customers interested or just want to talk about how cloud can be transformational, because really this is still in a mode of we're all educating, and even ourselves, as we're learning from customers of what they need, and others are learning about how the cloud model works. So we're still in this great period of cross-learning between customers and providers. So it's a fun time to be doing this.
Thank you so much for being on the program today.
Hey, thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.